So in this particular session, what we're going to be talking about is social media trends for 2023. Now, of course, we know social media is still the hot topic in marketing and communications. And wherever you're positioning social in your marketing mix or in your customer communications, there is a lot of stuff happening and a lot of changes this year in 2023 that we can expect to see. There will be a number of things that will be growing from last year, but we also have some new things that are coming through, which are going to take marketing and communications by storm as we go through this year. So I want to highlight those to you, and then you can be the judge for your own particular situation, for your own brand, for your own organization, whether the time is right to embrace some of these elements, and or whether or not you decide, okay, I'm just going to keep a watching brief and I'm going to just kind of sit and wait for the right moment. Because for every single person, everybody listening to this on this particular session today, we'll all have a slightly different perspective, a slightly different take on what is going to be important and actually what we're going to do about it. So there is no one size fits all, but the beauty of this is it's an opportunity for us to just pause just for a moment at this point early in the year and take stock of where we are, what is happening out there in social media land, and what we potentially can do about it. So successful social marketers are those who I've just kind of intimated here that will take the time and effort to carefully assess these opportunities. And interestingly, there was a quote that I've seen over the last sort of few days from Hootsuite, who say that basically the most successful social marketers are going to be those who take a scalpel rather than a cleaver to this subject. In other words, really thinking about at a kind of quite a granular level of detail. So a real kind of high level of detail here. Thinking about the long-term impact of short-term actions. Now, that's really, really important. Just think about that just for a moment. The long-term impact of short-term actions. So rather than just simply think of social as, oh, it's a place I publish content and just producing loads of content and hoping that it works, this is about actually thinking, no, it's now the time where my audience, my customer, my client, my prospect wants to hear the right kind of content. So it's about quality rather than just purely quantity. We've had quantity over recent years, and we all know how that looks and how that feels as a consumer of social media. We know that that's really uncomfortable. So savvy marketers in 2023 will be the ones who are getting it right. So they're really listening. They're really getting down to the level of detail of the analytics and the insights and really understanding what's going on and then doing just that. So not doing stuff for the sake of it, not just being the loudest on the block, but actually doing the right stuff at the right time. And the Hootsuite carry on by saying those who do will cement their worth once and for all. And it really does, I guess, you know, if you've been doing this for quite some time, you'll know that this really does feel like a little bit of a watershed moment. You know, I think there is a huge opportunity this year coming for people to really get this right and almost, you know, sort of move away from the pack. The pack is very noisy. The pack is quite chaotic. And this is an opportunity to really differentiate and get it right. So, you know, I'm very excited about the prospects of what's coming really and how social can help us to deliver, you know, on a lot of our targets. PR Week also are talking about the real value of what they call predictive analytics. Predictive analytics, decentralized networks, and multi-sensory experiences, the three social media trends for 2023. Now, those are big, bold claims. You know, multi-sensory experience. Wow, doesn't that sound interesting? Decentralized networks. Well, what on earth is that? Is that NFTs? Is that metaverse? Is that blockchain? Oh, yes, all of the above. But actually, what we can do is we can really start to understand rather than just worrying and thinking about these big macro sort of criteria that really none of us really truly understand, if we're being brutally honest, and actually getting down into the detail. And that's what this particular masterclass really in social media trends for 2023 is all about. This is going to be a conversation about, you know, what we can actually do about it. So rather than just listening to some of these big ticket items, it's like, okay, I hear that, I get that, I've seen it a lot, but what about me? What can I do? What actions can I take? And so that's where I want to get this. Okay. And another little quote really from PR Week to really kind of focus us in here. They're saying that marketers must focus on forging, and I love this phrase, symbiotic relationships. Come back to that in a moment. Symbiotic relationships through a better understanding of online conversations and taking quicker action. It's this new understanding that will help brands create meaningful experience and become closer to their consumers. Let's just go back and just revisit that phrase at the start of that quote from PR Week, symbiotic relationships. Now, if you've listened to any of the previous sessions in this series, back in series 3, you'll know that we've talked a lot here about conversational marketing and communications. So not one-way traffic. In other words, when you're producing a content plan, when you're thinking about your social media activity, it's not just about publishing. It's about maybe introducing some content as the start of a conversation, listening and watching to see what resonates, see what people engage with, looking and seeing how they then respond, and then reacting to that. Because this is about, and this is just such a lovely phrase, symbiotic relationship building. In other words, when you think of social media, please, please try to think beyond it just being about publishing something and then, oh, my job is done. I'm a social media marketer. No, actually, that's just the very, very tip of the iceberg, because it's the start of an opportunity to forge a relationship. And that's what we're going to see predominantly in 2023. And there's a number of examples I'm going to share with you in a minute that really echo this. But symbiotic relationships are ones that have a win-win perspective. In other words, you're going to win because you'll get a deeper relationship, that professional intimacy that I find myself talking about a lot. That's what you're looking for, that professionally intimate relationship with your customer. But also, by being symbiotic, it means that they're going to get value back too. So that's what is going to happen in 2023. And I think for a lot of us, that really stretches the boundaries over where we took things in 2022, because a lot of us were still being, you know, servants to the chaos. A lot of us were still just publishing content. We've got to get more savvy about this. We've got to get sharper in the way that we're listening, more precise in the way that we're analyzing, and then responding to that engagement by just becoming obsessed about building valuable relationships, value for you and your organization, your business, but value for the audience too. So I think that's going to be a bit of a theme that we're going to see as we actually work through, literally step by step, all of the top trends that we're seeing here at the start of the year. Now, what I'm going to do is I go through the next, there's about 15 of them, okay? So if you've got a pen or paper or you've got your keyboard ready, this is a chance to just really be kind of taking notes on stuff that we know is either going on the up or on the down. So some of the trends, I'm not saying all these trends are positive. Some of these trends are going to be things that are shrinking or that have kind of had their day and they're being replaced by something else. Okay, so this isn't all positive trends. This is up and down. So some of the stuff's going to be on the up and some of it's going to be on the down. I'm going to intersperse them. We're not going to do all the ups first and then all the downs. We're going to kind of mix and match because there's a bit of a theme that's going to run through all of this. And you'll probably figure this out by the time we get through all of them. So some on the up and some on the down. A big, big clear one to start us off is on the up is short form video on all networks. Okay. It doesn't matter where you look in social. We all know this. This is the obvious one to start with because it's the most obvious one that we're all seeing, short form video. So do what's right for you and don't follow the crowd. Not every personal brand has the personality to be goofy on TikTok, but everyone can probably be educational or informal. Instead of shooting for a style you don't find comfortable, find what you can provide via video that's useful to the audience you're trying to reach. That's a quote from Social Media Examiner. And these guys are experts in watching these trends. So they're saying you've got to be comfortable with short form video, but it is the biggest trend here in 2023. So if you're not doing short form video, and what do we mean by that? 30 to 60 seconds worth of video clip. Yes, we can be looking at TikTok, we can do Instagram Reels, but there are others available. I think we need to kind of really obsess about short form video. It's very, very easy to produce. It's super easy to consume on the other side by the customer. And there are a multitude of different ways that you can use short form video. So yes, if you want to, as Social Media Examiner say, there be goofy on TikTok, you can. But there's a TikTok serious version. You know, you've got to be thinking of your audience here. This isn't all about just doing the typical influencer thing and trying to be something that you're not. It's about understanding what is resonant with your brand, what your audience are looking for, and then just thinking, could we do little bursts of video content that would add value educationally, informally, you know, just really sort of bringing the relationship forward. Maybe there's a little product launch and we just want to showcase maybe a little bit of a teaser at the start of the campaign, and we're going to use short form video for that. Whatever it happens to be, little sound bites of video content 100% needs to be in your mix. So if this is something that's brand new to you, time to be thinking about, okay, what would resonate and basically what could fit into specific networks? Because as I've said, there are quite a few options available to you. Yes, again, on the up, TikTok and Instagram Reels, but those you could argue are so 2022 because YouTube Shorts appears to be right here, right now, the place to focus. Now, the key here is that if you're producing content for TikTok and Instagram Reels, others are available, but short form video, you will almost certainly know, and you will probably have also seen that YouTube and YouTube Shorts are beginning to appear in the Google search results as well. Now, that's really important to remember. And the reason that's important to remember is because that's going to do great stuff for your search engine optimization. So this is the first little touch point where your social media activity is going to have a spin-off benefit into maybe your web presence or other digital capabilities that you're looking to really optimize. So think about YouTube Shorts. And if you're producing video short form content elsewhere, you can instantly come in and get some really, really great value in YouTube as well. So that's a really interesting one to experiment with. Big, big upside here in 2023. On the down, okay, I did say that we would do the concept of basically using this for sort of a balance, if you like, between content publishing, content posting. And of course, we all have to be doing that. But in 2023, balancing that and kind of weighing that with social engagement. So really thinking about, because on the down is just pure social content posting, but this year we're going to see much more social customer service, social connection, social conversations, and all of these things are going to outscore as we go through this year, social content posting every single time. So what do I mean by this? Well, what I mean is that if you feel that as a marketer, communicator, business professional, entrepreneur, whatever your role is in your organization, if you feel that right here, right now, it's all about getting your content plan and just producing stuff, maybe scheduling it into a content scheduling system, and you're just pushing out all the content, and then you're not providing customer service, you're not using that to make connections, you're not doing that to stimulate a conversation, then you're going to get left behind by the people who are. So on the down is just pure content posting, but on the up is the flip side, which are the conversations that come from posting. So this kind of reflects really what I was saying earlier, that the key here is when you think about posting something, what I'd like you to be really thinking about here to meet the trend, you know, literally head on, is to think, why am I posting this? And what kind of engagement and conversation could I really be stimulating by posting this content? And if the answer is, well, no, I'm just posting to fill the space, or, you know, I haven't posted anything for the last few days, so I feel I need to, but I haven't really got time to do any conversational stuff, and I'm not going to watch what happens, then I would say in 2023, the point is, don't post. Okay, so that's quite a bold statement, because most of us feel kind of drawn, almost obliged to be producing content. Well, big challenge in 2023 is, if you're producing content that doesn't lead to engagement, conversation, or connection, or provide some level of service, the point is, the trend is saying don't do it. Okay, so it's a very, very clear message here. We need to get more savvy. We need to get more focused as to the why we're doing our social content posting, not just the what and the how. Okay, so be really critical of yourself. Be really, and I don't mean critical negative, I mean critical, you know, trying to find that balance of the positive with everything that you're doing, but also then understand what's going to happen if all you do is post. So that's a really, really key one that is on the down here. We could get away with it in 2022, but now we're moving into, you know, a whole new kind of ballpark here. So it is really important to think, what am I stimulating with every piece of content that I produce? So here's another on the up, okay? OpenAI content creation. In other words, there are the likes of ChatGPT, which are able to, as AI platforms, able to produce content for you. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, this is really interesting. So I haven't got the time to produce much content, but I can get AI to do it for me. Wow, this is really helpful, because I can just put in a few little keywords and phrases, or I can point them to a web page and it will produce social content for me. What, for free? Wow, my job is sorted. This is going to make my life much easier. The reality, and the harsh reality, that is, whilst this is a leveler of the playing field for what you might term weak writers and communicators, and what it does is potentially, you know, give us the opportunity to leverage some of the long tail keyword search engine stuff that we've been trying to do, we have to be cautious. Automated content creation, even if it is at the very highest level and it looks grammatically correct and it sounds like it resonates with our brand tone of voice, and wow, this is making my life easy, Google is already aware. Okay, this is the flip side of it. Content creation that is done by AI, automated, you could argue, Google has already got the algorithms to spot it. Okay, so be cautious. I'm not saying don't do it. It is on the up. A lot of us have tested this, or are beginning to test out automated content creation platforms like ChatGPT. But Google has already sussed this out and is already ahead of you on this one. And if it spots that that is all you're doing, if it spots that, you know, when you blog and then you post the short form content of the blog, you know, to get a link back to it from social, it's spotted it. It's already seen that you're beginning to do that. So be careful, tread carefully. If that is something that you're exploring, test it out, try it, see if it does resonate, see if maybe it infills those moments when you are simply too busy, don't have the bandwidth, don't have the resource to be creating new content. Maybe this is a nice filler, or maybe you use it to part create maybe a blog that you can then use to use social to then promote it in. But be careful, you know, all that glitters isn't always gold. So, you know, there are always flip sides to things. So tread cautiously and carefully if automated content creation for your social channels is your target. I'd say, no, I'm not saying don't do it, but just be really careful if that is a target for you. Another one that's on the down is an obsession with likes, views, and followers. Now, I know I talk a lot and have done over many, many years about the concept of vanity metrics. And, you know, for those of you who have been on many of these sessions with me, you'll know I constantly talk about how much I dislike vanity metrics. It, on the down, truly and honestly, in 2023, is the obsession with likes, views, and followers. Now, what I never have said is that, you know, you can't completely and utterly discount, you know, these vanity metrics of how many followers I've got, how many likes I get, etc. Because you clearly do have to have reach. You have to have some kind of presence in social to make traction and get this engagement. But with the demise of third-party cookies, obviously, as those get retired around the middle of the year and everything changes, the most savvy marketers are already beginning to innovate with new ways of really adding value in social to their customer or their prospects' experiences. But what does that really mean? Well, it means that they're not really so obsessed with reporting back to the business, you know, the improvements in the likes or the views or the followers. They are much more now talking and thinking about real engagement and actually putting their social networks not on a pedestal and not sort of saying, oh, look at our LinkedIn profile or, oh, look at this Facebook page. You know, we are just amazing marketers. But actually what they're doing is they're saying, the customer journey is the most important thing that we have. One, because, well, we own it. Two, because, well, it's the end-to-end customer experience. So, the most savvy marketers in 2023 are going to be really thinking more about the customer journey and where a particular social network sits than actually pretending, which is what a lot of us have done in the past, that the social network itself is the end game. In other words, not putting these things on a pedestal and saying, oh, Instagram, you've just, you know, you've made our business. You're incredible. And then Instagram goes and decides to do something completely at odds with the way that you've set your account up. And you've got no choice in the matter. You just have to go with it. So far better to think of something like Instagram as performing a particular role or a particular function in your customer's journey. So it gets a very tight little job description. And that is what it is designed for. And that's the role that you give it, rather than think of it as being the end game in itself. So, you know, really putting these social networks in their place, their right place, because it isn't about likes, views, and followers. It is about how does each of the social networks that you use contribute to the value of your customer's experience as they go through a journey of interaction with you. That's the key here. It is about the customer journey and where this particular social network might sit rather than how that network actually performs in itself. It's just a channel. It's just a tool in a broader mix of things that you do. Okay, that's important. That's a really important thing in 2023. And I know if you've heard me talk before, you'll know that I do bang on about this quite a lot. But I think this year, we're seeing this as a really clear trend. It's really coming through loud and clear. All of the media is talking about this. All of the commentators are just talking about customer journey. So let's get really intimate with the customer journey, because, of course, as we know, it's happening whether you plot it or not. So far better to take a little bit of control. Think of the social network as a channel within that customer journey to move your customer onto the next step in their journey with you. And I mean, ultimately to a purchase or ultimately to becoming loyal, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really what this game is about in social. It isn't about how many likes or followers you've got. Another one that is kind of related to that, and again, definitely on the down, is all your eggs in the Twitter basket. Imagine that. What on earth happened to Twitter towards the back end of 2022? And what is happening right now? The question is, the jury is out. You know, Elon, in his wisdom, has been making a lot of changes. And you've only got to look at some of the social media pages of all the commentators and all the media outlets to know that everybody's obsessing over the next move for Twitter. What is it going to be? Is it going to work? Is the whole thing going to fold? If you've had all your eggs in one social media basket, well, good luck. I mean, honestly, it is just a channel. It is just a tool. And you might say, well, Neil, yes, but we've got a lot of sales as a result of it. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to argue against that. But what I would say, it is a harsh reminder that you've never and will never own any of the content or any of the features of your favorite social networks, the ones that you believe you've been reliant on. And if you think I'm wrong, go read the terms and conditions, because Facebook owns it. Facebook owns everything in Facebook, Meta, we should say. But the same for Twitter, the same for all the others. You don't own that content. You haven't got control over that content, how it's presented, where it's presented, how often it's, you know, represented, the algorithms. None of that is in your control. So on the down is the putting all of your eggs into the social media basket. And really sort of thinking that you're a marketer or a communicator or a business developer if you're great on social media. It's just one of the strings to the bow. It's just one of the tools in the toolkit. And that is all it is. So kind of let's just remember that, you know, it is the journey that I was just talking about, and it's less about an individual social network. So if you are reliant right now as a business, as an organization, predominantly on one or maybe even two social networks, then that is a very, very high risk strategy in 2023. And the Twitter example is obviously the most extreme one right now. But TikTok, again, because of the owners, because of the kind of political situations with it, you know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of commentary about whether TikTok is still going to be allowed in the US, for example, as we go through this year. So don't be reliant on one social network. Spread your presence. If you're using this for promotional or engagement building or building a community, spread the presence over a number. Don't be reliant and put all your eggs in one basket. That's a really key theme that we've already seen. There's a lot of risk associated with getting that bit wrong. Because if you back the wrong horse and you lose that channel, that could be a fundamental flaw in your customer journey. So spread the risk and get really clever in terms of the way that you, you know, drive people through this customer journey that you've created. So on the up, which is a real positive here, is email and first-party data. Now, email was the, obviously, you know, if you're as old as me in marketing, you know, you can remember when email was the thing, where everybody used to be sending out regular newsletters and email bulletins and this, that, and the other. It's back on the up. It's coming back again. And the reason being is it's one of the key channels in what we call first-party data. So third-party data is very much where the data is kind of held somewhere else. You don't have a huge amount of control over it. So social media, for example. And then you're going to do remarketing, you're going to do advertising through the use of third-party data. So people, other people's data to try and get more people. Lookalike audiences is a great example and a good phrase there to attract into your business. Well, in 2023, we are going to see a return to first-party data, a refocus back on your website, your email lists, your data, your CRM, your customer relationship management systems, because it's the data you hold. It's yours. And this first-party data is where you're going to get great value this year. So it's time to get back and intimate with your data. So start right here, right now, to properly segment your databases. And again, if you've got any kind of email lists, start to properly segment those. You know, break them down into patterns of product usage, for example. Look at different kind of times when people of a certain description will respond more or less to particular email communications that you send out. Start to really interrogate the data that you have of previous campaigns and previous activities. And then build immersive and engaging experiences with tools you can control. So think again about your website. I know this is a social media trends 2023 talk, but we can't do this without knowing that on the up is your website and on the up is email, first party data that you can control. That is back to play in your customer journey. So think about the things you can control. Think about the things that you can measure through and that your target audience will accept. So maybe it's time to think about how could I, if I chose to, build maybe an email campaign. There, Neil said it, an email campaign to maybe complement some of the social activity that you're doing. Look at the events you've got planned for this year. Look at the product or service launches. Look at some of the other things that you might want to piggyback on and think, could I use email to really kind of facilitate some, yeah, proper kind of joined up, mature kind of engagement? Would that work? Well, let's start testing again. Let's kind of get back and intimate with our email lists, because that is definitely on the up as we start to take back, as business owners, as marketers, more control over the access that we have potentially to the prospects and customers who are out there. So that's quite an exciting one to me. On the up as well is a phrase called authenticity and transparency. And Social Media Examiner, again, nice little quote from them saying, authenticity rules over curated perfection. I love that. Authenticity rules over curated perfection. One of the key things that's coming through this year is the whole idea that people want to see the honest you. They want to see the authentic behind the scenes of your organization. It isn't about the glossy corporate brochure. In 2023, you know, we've had enough of, you know, seeing the very carefully staged, you know, photo shoot. We want to see what the product really looks like. We want to see real people using it, you know, not that model in that photo shoot that just makes it look perfect. We want to see real customers doing stuff and using it. We want to see behind the scenes, how did you make that product or that service? You know, who are the people who are behind the scenes actually doing this stuff? So this is the day where, you know, consumers really are demanding authenticity from brands in all different sectors. You know, according to Influencer Marketing Hub, 86% of consumers now say that transparency is more important than ever. Aside from transparency, they say, and today's consumers expect businesses to nurture authentic human connections and build an emotional connection to a brand. And this is where, of course, social can really help us. And one example of how brands can nurture authenticity is by empowering their leaders to play a more proactive role on social media. I'm going to say that one again, because for some of you, you'll probably be giving a little wry smile now because you know how hard this one is to do. But it is by empowering your leaders to play a more proactive role on social media. Now, I've tried to drag people kicking and screaming into doing this, and with some success and some failures, it has to be said. But if you can get the people who in your organization have the most interesting stories to tell, they are the thought leaders, they are the experts or the specialists, or they are, you know, just a good face of the organization. And if they're able and willing to tell an authentic and transparent story, this is significantly on the up in social media trends as we go into this year. So see what kind of work you can do to build content, short form video, as we've seen, but also written content, maybe infographic content that draws on the expertise you have in your organization. And these are the leaders. It doesn't have to be the most senior person, but just get into play, get into the game, get into the content team, the people who have got the most interesting stuff in your organization. You know, marketing shouldn't be left to the marketers. I don't know who first said that, but it was always a really good little quote that's always reminded me that this is about all of us. It isn't about just a marketer doing marketing. It's not about, you know, the buck stops with marketing. Well, we've run out of content ideas. Well, over to marketing. No, it's not. This is all about the organization building stories, authentic and transparent and interesting. This is what your customer and your prospect wants to see in social. And this is the year to make that happen. So there's a big challenge to you. If this is a new thing for you, you've got to get networking. You've got to be building content with others. So as you build your content schedule, as you go through this year, make sure a certain proportion of that is about authentic, transparent content that really helps to tell the story of what's going on inside and around your organization. Because this 86% of all your customers, according to Influencer Marketing Hub, that's what they want to see and hear. And that to me is really exciting because that's real content. Okay, next one that's on the down is Meta Monopoly. So this is an interesting one because we've always, I think, up to this point, assumed that the social networks are kind of in charge. But we now have an opportunity, should we wish to take it and, you know, really move away from what we might call Big Brother social networks, so the metas of this world, we can actually go for open source, decentralized, blockchain-based community platforms, things like Minds.com, which would allow us, if we choose to take this journey, to create and curate collaborative spaces without all of the algorithms that the Big Brother networks like Meta, et cetera, put into place. And then, of course, they've got features and control and everything else that, you know, almost sort of, you know, steers what we can say, what we can't say. And we might have actually something to say that we feel is super important. We might want to have those really awkward conversations, you know, as long as they're authentic and transparent and well-policed and, you know, well-facilitated, but they could be pushing the boundaries of what really is permitted within the likes of Meta. So no longer do the big social networks have a monopoly on conversation. Now, they might think they do, but they don't. Media has changed since, you know, unrecognizably since we've had social media. You know, because back in the day, you know, printed newspapers and then newspapers online, where, you know, you were fed content of a certain style, of a certain nature, and there were no other sources of information. Of course, then along came social media and they kind of, you know, took the place of that and you could have a say. But then that became, you know, very, very closely policed, and certain things you're not allowed to talk about, certain things you are, you know, prevented from talking or even having a conversation about, just even inquiring about. And I know because last year on Meta, Facebook, as it was known, blocked two of my posts, and they were just questions that didn't even use a certain word, which I think we all know what words we were being searched after a certain thing that happened in 2020 and affected a lot of us, made us work from home. That thing, and then certain things that came around as a result of that, and it really polarized society. And you were not even allowed to ask a question. Well, these decentralized blockchain community platforms now allow you to. So if your brand is in a marketplace where you think, do you know, actually, I don't want to be controlled by a big monopoly social network, I want to do my own thing, well, go and look for some open source platforms that allow you to build communities where, let's call it, freedom of speech is a little bit more open and available. And that really is on the up as these monopolies start to slide, because for a lot of us communicators, we don't really want to be policed in that sort of way. We do want the freedom, as long as it's open and honest and true and authentic and kind and all those things that, you know, as human beings, we need to be practicing. As long as that is in place, what could possibly be wrong with that? Another one, again, that kind of feeds into this one, because there is a lot, and you will know this, a lot of misinformation, a lot of conspiracy theory, and a lot of kind of, you know, questioning going on this particular topic, but it is on the up, and we've got to figure out as marketers how we're going to respond to it, is just the simple word planet. Okay, planet, you know, how are we as marketers going to be responding to this? You know, you can call it sustainability, you can call it, you know, carbon footprint, you can call it, you know, eco-credentials, whatever you want to term this thing. It is the year when, you know, if you were practicing, you know, the rule of thirds, if you like, for content creation, which was all about personal, point and promote, you know, where personal was one third of the content you create is all about getting to know you as a brand, one third is point, so signposting to really interesting third-party content, and then one third of your content plan was about promoting your products and services. Now, maybe in 2023, we're also including another P, our fourth P in the rule of thirds. Well, that doesn't kind of add up, but you get the gist of what I'm saying, is that we now maybe want to include the word planet in there. Because our target audience wants to know. You know, if your target audience is an emerging generation, so they're Gen Z or millennials, they want to know what you're doing for the planet. They want to know as part of their purchase decision or as part of their commitment to, or, you know, move away from your brand, they want to know what your credentials are. Do you have some authentic, some real evidence of what you're doing? And if you don't, well, I'm sorry, but your competitor down the road does, so I'm going to go there. So it really is the time to take marketing sustainability or planet, whatever you want to call it, seriously in your marketing and your content mix. And nowhere better in 2023 than factoring this into your social media and your social networking content plan. So if you're not already, there are lots of different resources that you can look at and go for. Connect with me at Neil Wilkins X if you need some guidance and steer on this one, because for those of you who know me, you know I've got a lot of time and energy into this particular aspect of marketing communications. So yes, at Neil Wilkins X on social if you need more information on how to figure planet into your content mix. But it's there. We need to be doing it. It's coming. It's a trend. It's already started. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Another one that's on the down, and this is an interesting one, is the influencer, well, macro influencer marketing. In 2023, Influencer Marketing Hub have really summed it up really nicely. They don't even talk about micro-influencers. I've talked over the last sort of 24 months or so about the importance of micro-influencer. So this isn't the macro-influencer, you know, the ones who are big celebrities, if you want to call them that, names. We're not talking about at that level. We're talking about micro-influencer who are kind of within your sector, within your communities, or the communities of the people you want to associate with or you want to build relationships with. So those are really important. But there's a new concept here, and these are called nano-influencers. Now, the really, really interesting thing about nano-influencers, according to Influencer Marketing Hub, is that they have an average engagement rate of over 3.5%, which is higher than that of macro-influencers. And what we're expecting to see in 2023 is that nano and micro influencers will take center stage as more brands are likely to opt for a more community-led approach. Okay, so the days of the great big macro influencer, the Kardashians of this world, so they're gone, but I think for most of us marketers who don't have the multi-million budget sort of available to be spending to engage with those kind of macro influencers, we need to get down to community-led influencers. So micro influencers who are probably across a particular sector can be really important. And of course, there are still journalists and bloggers and vloggers in particular communities, in sectors at a sector level. Well, that would be the micro influencer level. But more and more so, according to Influencer Marketing Hub, the nano influencers. So those who are actually in very specific niches within a sector, because of this community thing. Do you see this is a theme coming through loud and clear? It's all about engagement, conversation, and community. Actually, I think there could be a separate webinar coming up for that one. I think there probably should be, because this is the key theme here that we're seeing. And so nano influencer, if you can spot them, who are the individuals who just everybody seems to, within a very tight, it might be an individual Facebook group, or it might be a physical real world community, and they're just always there. They're always the one who's asked for the opinion. They're always the one who just takes the stage and does the keynote in that particular networking group. So there's a spin over here into the real world. So whilst we're looking at a social trend here, social media trend, we're also seeing this play out in the real world as well. And I think this is a really interesting one. I think, you know, for all of us, irrespective of our sector or the kind of target audience that we have, there's something in this nano influencer thing that we can all be paying attention to. So I find that really quite an interesting one. I'm certainly going to be watching that one myself. Here's a big one on the up. If you haven't heard the word metaverse, now is the time to start paying attention. Multisensory social media. Okay, so metaverse social, thinking of the metaverse not as a game, not as a cartoon character, not as Meta, but as a multi-sensory 3D environment into which you immerse. Okay, so you're actually in the environment. You're not looking at it as on a screen. You might have a headset on, and so you might actually physically be in the environment. But this is what we're talking about now. Brands will invest in bringing sensory elements to digital experience, from gamification to fully immersive digital malls. And that's PR Week saying it's already happening. And they go on to say that with a potential of $800 billion, expect even more players to join the contest in the coming months. This is how they're defining, this is PR Week. So they, you know, they're doing a lot of research into this, and they're finding that the brands that a lot of us are already familiar with, who are making big inroads in the metaverse, you know, the Nikes of this world and Hublot and lots of other brands are making very, very big gains in the metaverse. There is a space and a place for you, okay? Irrespective of the size of you and your brand, it really doesn't matter. This is a real game changer and a real leveler. So Metaverse Social, on the 27th of January, I'm going to be doing a session in the afternoon, 3 o'clock UK time in the afternoon in the Metaverse on Metaverse marketing. And I'd like to invite you to come in there. So connect with me if we're not already connected. Connect with me at Neil Wilkins X, and I will send you an invitation to come along to this. And it's limited to the first 50 people who sign up. When I send this invitation out on Monday, which I will be doing, it's the first 50 people who would like to join me in the metaverse to discuss metaverse marketing. And I'm going to showcase some of the things that you can do as a marketer today. Okay, so Metaverse Social is not future. It's here today, and I'll prove it to you on the 27th of January. So it's a little shameless plug for a session there that will explain a lot more, but just know that this is not a future thing. Metaverse, you can get gains, you can provide customer service, you can launch a product or service, you can have a conference. There's a whole host of things you can do already today in the metaverse to factor that into your marketing and your social media activity. So think the concept Metaverse Social, connect with me, and I will send you an invitation to that session. I am super excited. This is the biggest thing. I've been in marketing for over 35 years now, and this is the biggest thing that I've seen since even the hint of social media. You know, this is before social media. This is the most exciting opportunity for marketing, in my view. And I'm going to prove it to you. So hopefully you'll join me there with that one. So organic content, let's get back to reality just for a moment and say, okay, how are we going to pull all of these trends together? Well, organic content will really score. I've talked about the kind of first party data. I've talked about, you know, putting your social networks in their rightful place, not being subservient to them, but putting them in their rightful steps in your customer's journey. So for me, there's kind of four steps to really good planning for social content, and then really optimizing kind of the outcomes that are going to happen here in 2023. So step one is go to the Google Keyword Planner tool. Find your brand's relevant trending search phrases. You know, this is the starting point for great social content, okay? Most people think about the keyword planner as something that you use for your website, and of course it is, but you can also make sure that you're using the right kind of trending search phrases that will integrate your brand with the kinds of conversations that you want to be having in social. And remember, it's all about community building, not just publishing. Remember that little tip that I gave you at the start. Step two then is to go to something like Answer the Public. If you haven't used Answer the Public, go to that website, Answer the Public, because you'll find there specific questions being asked in relation to the search phrases you've just identified in step one. Now, that's good. Answering questions, of course, just by its very nature, is part of a conversation. So that's doing what we're talking about as a trending topic. So you find what your trending search phrases are. You then go search those in Answer the Public to find the specific questions that are being asked. And then, of course, then you start to answer those questions. You start to produce content based around those trending questions because you know your target audience is interested in those. And then I would say go to step three, which is then you've got to find some way of sort of pulling it all together. So you know your keywords, you know the trending phrases, you know the kinds of questions you want to answer. Well, you could go to something like planthat.com, plan with two N's, planthat.com. Others are available. And then you can define some goals. What is it you want to achieve with your content this year? Let's get really smart with the kind of goal setting here. So you've got your keyword phrases, you've got your questions to answer. Okay, let's define some goals. So maybe I'm going to answer 30 questions in this first quarter. Okay, how does that break down? And what platforms? You've got to choose your platforms. So which platforms shall I answer those questions on? Let's kind of do an audit of the strategy last year. What worked? What didn't work? Let's kind of factor that in as well. And as we do this planning, let's create what we might call content pillars. Do we spot some key themes here? And oh, look, there's a trending phrase there that relates to this particular question. And oh, look, we've got an expert in the organization who could answer that question. Bang, maybe that's a content pillar, something that is a key kind of foundation to our content plan. Because if you can find some content pillars, and these are the kind of the overarching themes for your content for this year, if you can find those pillars, then you'll find there's a whole range of spin-off conversations and other content that will be spawned from those pillars. So this is what we're trying to do here, is we're trying to find the big picker, the big picture items, those big ticket conversations, those big ticket phrases. Then the next step in this step three is to find your voice. Make sure that you're talking in the right kind of tone of voice, the right style. You're backing it up, you know, both in video and with visual graphics, with the right kind of on-brand sort of materials. And you can, of course, mix and match. You can create and you can also curate. It doesn't all have to be all your words. I mean, maybe you know some people who could add to the conversation. Imagine that, you know, if there are three or four different organizations talking about a particular topic and you drop that into a community and you get a nano influencer involved. Well, imagine where the engagement levels are going to go with that. And is that about likes and followers? Not at all. It's about conversation and community. So this is what we're trying to stimulate here in 2023. And then we can go to step four, which is a session about your analytics, setting very, very strong, very, very clear key performance indicators, KPIs that you can then use as targets to measure, evaluate, refine, and repeat. We've got to get really intimate with the numbers, because not all of those trending search phrases or all of those questions or all of that planning is going to work. And some of those content pillars actually will crumble. They aren't actually pillars at all because nobody really engaged. But if you're obsessing about your analytics, you'll know very quickly which ones do, and then you'll know what to do about it. More content, more searches, more trending, and some of that trending stuff will probably be eventually yours. So steps one to four there, planning tool, answer the public questions, planning and scheduling it, and then obsessing about your analytics. These four steps will really optimize your content. And it isn't a one-time activity. Once you've been round this loop, once you've gone through these stages, go back to the start again, see what's changed, see what's moved, and you will find the domino effect. In other words, as you put something in to this mix, everything changes. And then you've got to then go back to the start again and look from the start, because you're working with a different context. You're working with a different environment, and you can repeat and scale and repeat and scale and fine tune. It puts you in control. And so rather than just thinking of social media content production as publishing, hopefully by now we're kind of sort of wrapping this up into a way that actually works with the trending topics, but gives a very different spin to what social is going to be this year. It's not the year of content production. It's not the year of content publishing. It's community building. It's nano influencers, and it's properly listening. And that's going to be key. So let me just round up with a few little observations, things to think about, and ways to kind of take this forward. Well, social media examiners say if you produce one good video every month, your audience will get used to seeing that one good video every month. Forcing crap in between will hurt more than it helps. I love that. That really helps, doesn't it? Actually thinking about that, produce one good video every month. Your audience gets used to seeing that one good video every month. Force crap in between, it's going to hurt you more than it helps. Let's take the foot off the gas in terms of volume. Let's, if we were all to do this, how much better our timelines would be and would feel. Let's take the foot off of the quantity gas pedal, and let's just really think about quality. So, you know, take those steps, do this properly, build that community and that engagement, find out what really works and do more of that. Tip number three is to remember to piggyback. There are a lot of marketing calendars out there which show you at a macro level, you know, things like, you know, this is the International Day of such and such. That's still great content. That's still great piggybacking opportunities for your social content. Pinreel.app has got a marketing calendar 2023. So if you just search pinreel.app marketing calendar 2023, they've got some nice kind of starting points there to kick off that. And lots of other marketing calendars are available, but that's a good one to just get you started, really, because we've got to be relevant to what's going on in the world and what people are talking about. And that is another great opportunity to do that. And I mentioned planthat.com, plan with two N's, planthat.com. And a nice little kind of quote from them is, quieter periods are an awesome opportunity to build up a solid content bank and plan for the future. So you don't have to, as a result of listening to this, go off at 100 miles an hour and you've got to crack it all right now. Plan this in at a time when you can find and make space to self-reflect. Do it at a time when you can think, okay, if I took the next hour to just sit back and just look at the numbers and just have some quality time to kind of figure out what's really going on, and let's just do some proper listening. Let's kind of put a contribution into that community and just watch what happens. You know, just slow down, take a breath. One of the key things here in social media for 2023 versus 2022, which was breakneck speed, loads of chaos, loads of noise, is the fact that we are taking permission, should we choose to do it, taking permission to just pause for breath and to just, you know, get it right. And if we do, a lot of the trends are backing up the fact that it's going to be supported. The customers do want this to be done in the right way. And so I would say you could be very, very confident that you'll get it right. So less is more in 2023, but make sure that the less that you do is the highest quality less that you could possibly do. So that's kind of really what I'm wanting to share with you. Those are the trends for 2023. Those are the things that are going to be happening. I'm going to extend a lot of these concepts into the upcoming events, which you can sign up for. There's a couple of new ones going up or have gone up just over the last hour or so on marketingcollege.com/events website, on that page there on the college site. And one of them is about the metaverse and marketing. This is going to be one of those hot topics that we know is coming. So yeah, hopefully we'll be able to share a lot more information about that. And as I say, connect with me on social at Neil Wilkins X if we aren't already connected. And I will share on Monday that invitation to marketing in the metaverse. In the metaverse, and we'll actually go over there rather than a Zoom session. We'll go over into the metaverse and enjoy some of the opportunities that I'm going to share with you there. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for coming along today. It's been a really interesting sort of conversation here. And a question just that has come through on the Q&A, which I'm just going to go to here, which says about how do I use social media in the manufacturing industry? Our market is very niche and the audience is unlikely to see us on social media, but possibly LinkedIn. But I want to create a larger online presence, but our audience is people in the manufacturing industry. Love the question. Social does not necessarily have to be social at the scale of Meta or LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera. You could build your own. I've seen a number of what you might term niche organizations create their own environments. I mean, you could do it, for example, as part of a sort of a VIP sort of customer loyalty kind of project, and you can invite some of your most loyal customers in to start things off. And that is going to be a really interesting one to play with. So I'd say create your own. Social can be as small as you want to make it. Social is just social at the scale you want to take it. So yeah, create your own. Maybe start with something like Facebook, a Facebook group, which you can make private, but there are others that you could potentially use. Another question that's come through, what equipment is needed to join in the metaverse meeting? Okay, well, that's a really interesting one. If you've got a headset, you can wear that. But if you don't have a headset, I'm going to be using a platform that allows you to join from a browser and actually even allows you to join from a smartphone as well. So there will be no restriction at all. So if you're interested, yeah, please do register for it and let me know in social. Just send me a direct message in social at Neil Wilkins X if that is of interest, and we can make sure that that you know, is accessible to you and everybody else. Another question that's just come through, got time just for one more, which is, the directors in our business have asked the marketing team to manage their professional social media accounts for them, but I'm wary as this makes it less authentic. I think you've answered the question. Yes, absolutely. And what I would be recommending there is, I know that a lot of organizations try and do this and they feel that, you know, it needs to be owned by marketing because marketing is for the marketers. I think this is an opportunity for marketing to almost maybe run a number of briefing sessions, a number of upskilling sessions. Social media, the clue is in the name social, social media. And that's a really important element of this, I feel. So I would say the more you can actually entice people, train people, educate people in how to use their accounts. And, you know, you give the example, thank you there, for of LinkedIn. And I think that's a really interesting example because, yes, that one is one that really probably should be used for authenticity purposes by the individual themselves. But I think it is about training and education. As you and I know, it's not a scary thing. It just requires that confidence to do it. And then as you go through that training, maybe introduce some guidelines, and those have obviously got to be in line with the brand qualities and tone of voice and things as well. So just build the confidence in these people, because they can do it. We know they can do it, but they just need to be convinced they can do it. Great questions. Thank you all for sort of adding those into the chat. Much appreciated. Right, well, I'm going to let you go and continue with your day today. Thank you very much for those questions. Thank you for staying with me on this conversation. And let's connect if we aren't already at Neil Wilkins X in social.